Coming up on today's show...
My mom woke up in the morning, and there I was at the bottom of the steps, you know, long hair down to my waist, my Grateful Dead tattoo, my earrings, the whole thing. And I said to her, "Mom, I need to talk to a priest."
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life. And on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. One of the actions you can take there is to sign up for free for the weekly Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter. You will receive that on Monday and get a glimpse at who the newest guest interview is, and there is always a Did You Know section in there as well. Look for the newsletter sign up on CatholicSportsRadio.net. You simply put in your name and email address, check the opt-in box, and then hit the subscribe button, although do watch your email then for a confirmation email that you will click on to verify that you signed up. At the top of the website, there are links to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. In addition, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And of course, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper just earned the 500th victory of his National Hockey League career. After the game, a journalist asked him if reaching that milestone is even more meaningful because all of those wins have come behind the same team's bench over 10-plus years. In part of his answer, he told the journalist that there is a big element of trust, meaning him trusting the ownership and management, and them trusting him. I would add that along the way, he is always having to earn and maintain the trust of the very athletes that sit on the bench in front of him. That is such a vital part of the relationship, in good times and in bad. The same could be said about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's easy to doubt Him when things seem like they're falling apart, when there are more losses than victories. We must keep the faith. In the Old Testament, we are reminded in Psalm 32, verse 10, that, quote, "Many are the sorrows of the wicked one, but mercy surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is closing in on 21 years since his ordination to the priesthood. He is Vicar Provincial and Vocation Director for the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. He is also a well-known conference speaker and leads pilgrimages to Catholic shrines around the world. He is the author of 18 books and has a radical conversion story that we will hear today. On the sports side, he has been surfing since he was 8 years old and has surfed all around the world. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father Don Calloway.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's so good to be with you and all the listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this. I'm really excited for the audience to hear your amazing story. Well, stories, plural. But first, where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Well, I was born in Dearborn, Michigan, and we were a small family. It was just myself. I didn't have any initial siblings. And then I was raised all around the world because my stepfather was in the Navy, so we traveled a lot.
Okay. As our conversation goes along, the audience will hear about your conversion to the Catholic faith. But before we get to that, what faith was being practiced in the Calloway household when you were a young boy?
None whatsoever. We didn't have any practice. We didn't believe in anything. My parents didn't even believe in God. So none whatsoever.
Wow. I alluded to this in the intro, but tell us about starting into surfing at age 8, as well as whether you participated in any other sports at any point in your youth.
Yeah, when my mother remarried, she married a naval officer. So that's when, you know, we left Michigan and we started always living near water. And the first place was Virginia Beach. And I was young and went to the beach, saw some kids surfing, and I wanted to try it and was able to start. And I was 8 years old, and it just blossomed from there. And then everywhere we moved near water, I just continued to do it and have done it my whole life now. Absolutely love it. And maybe with that, I love beach volleyball. I was always involved in beach volleyball. Just love the beach, love the ocean. Everything associated with water was kind of my sports field, if you will.
I picked up earlier that you said you're an only child initially. So it sounds like maybe when your mother remarried, you got a stepbrother, stepsister, more than one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had a son, my half-brother, Matthew, who's 10 years younger than me. But that's it. Still, you know, it's a pretty small family.
Okay. And I'm interested in the fact that you kind of took to surfing on your own. A lot of times we hear guests on the show say, Dad took me out back and got me started playing baseball catch or shooting baskets in the yard, or an uncle used to play semi-pro. And in this case, it was just young Don Calloway saying, hey, this surfing thing looks fun.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because, you know, we were a very transient family. We were constantly on the move and going to different places. And so I wasn't terribly close to a lot of my relatives, you know, uncles and things like that. I didn't know them that well at that time. But it was the 1980s, the early 80s, and surfing was really coming into its own. And there were some big names. And, you know, I was also into skateboarding and things. And those two things kind of went together at that time. And so I did look to some people. I had their posters on my, you know, wall in my bedroom and things like that. And I just picked it up and just fell in love with it. And yeah, to this day, it's still the same.
And listen to a lot of Beach Boys music.
Well, not really the Beach Boys, I'll be honest with you. That was kind of the generation before me. I was more into like Van Halen and, you know, hard rock and roll, you know.
Okay. Well, let's start digging into your story, because I think this background is going to make your conversion and your call to the priesthood even more eye-opening. First, tell us about being 15 years old and what you were up to overseas.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, we moved from Virginia Beach to Southern California, and then we were there for a while, and then we went to Japan. My stepfather's new assignment was in Japan, which I loved, right? Because it's an island, so, and lots of islands. So I got to surf in Japan a lot. And that was before surfing was even big in Japan. It wasn't even that well known at that time in Japan. Mm. So I was surfing beaches that had never even been surfed before. It was mind-blowing. But I was in my teens and I got in a lot of trouble and got involved with a criminal organization called the Yakuza, which is like the mafia. And I was only 15. Eventually I ran away from home and caused a huge international scene. And one thing led to another. And I ended up actually getting deported from the country because of the stuff that I was doing and just so many incidences and embarrassing our government, you know, because my father was a naval officer and, you know, it didn't look good. It was bad. So they kicked me out of the country, and that was tough. That was tough for everybody, especially my parents, of course.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering as you're saying that, is how do you get kicked out of Japan if your father is stationed there? Where do you go? Or is it, oh, and by the way, your parents, they have to go with you? I don't understand the logistics.
Yeah, well, this is how bad it was my mom and my brother, my half-brother Matthew, they actually left the country before I did. The government actually said to them, you have to leave and find a place to relocate for when we apprehend your son.
Wow.
Yeah, it was torture for my mom. My mom's a saint, and what I put her through, and I didn't know that. You know, I wasn't calling back home daily saying, hey, how was your day? No, I didn't care. I didn't even know that my mother didn't live in the country anymore. Mm. I was gone for a long time, and so eventually, you know, I was apprehended, and my father had to stay back to search with the authorities for me, and eventually they apprehended me, threw me in jail, and then kicked me out of the country.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, at the age of 15 years old. So now let's fast forward a few years to when you were 18 years old, and now the scene shifts to Louisiana.
Yeah. So, you know, when I came back to the States, I was only 15, so I couldn't be incarcerated. I hadn't done anything on American soil, so they sent me to rehabs. So I went to two drug and alcohol rehabs, And they didn't work. I actually got worse. And then, you know, a few years went by, and I was what was called a deadhead at that time. I was following the band, the Grateful Dead, and going to all these shows and doing so many drugs, it was insane. But when, as soon as I turned 18, now I could be busted legally. And so I was down in New Orleans around Mardi Gras time and tried to beat up a police officer and pulled a knife on him, and it was crazy. And so I got thrown in jail, and that was terrifying. At that point, I had long hair down on my waist, and so it was quite the experience. I was terrified. But then I got out, and did I change my life at that point? No, I didn't. Things continued to spiral out of control. Yeah,
I have to wonder, and of course, knowing what we do now in terms of, as I mentioned in the intro, that you're coming up on 21 years since your ordination, perhaps this is not a fair question to ask, but looking back now at everything you've described for us so far, how much do you feel that not having any faith in your life played a role in the route that you went, the bad roads that you traveled?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that that was a factor. You know, I wouldn't have said that back then, of course. I didn't believe in anything. But in retrospect now, oh, without a doubt, because I had no morals. I had no compass. I had no real consequences to my actions. I didn't believe in heaven or hell. I just wanted to have fun. I just wanted to live for pleasure. And so I didn't have anything that was stopping me, that was holding me back from hurting others. And yeah, religion would have been a huge factor.
Wow. Powerful. And we haven't even gotten to his conversion story yet. I knew this was going to be a great episode, audience. I think they all are, but in particular, this story fascinated me and I couldn't wait to talk to Father Calloway. By the way, please pray for me, folks. I did it. I went ahead and pulled the trigger on registering to attend the National Religious Broadcasters Convention next month in Nashville. Hopeful that the Lord will open doors there for me and my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, both in terms of good learning, attending the various educational sessions, as well as who I might meet and talk to there, whether that's additional channels to distribute my show through, or potential sponsors, or both, or maybe some other strategic partner that I'm not thinking of right now. The quote-unquote risk involved here is that the conference registration alone was $350. You heard me mention this last week during my interview with Dan Torpy, who, in case you didn't hear that, is a competitive master's athlete for Olympic weightlifting and strongman competitions. The reason that it's a challenge for me is because I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. That means that I have to find a way out of my own pocket to come up with not only that $350 registration fee, but airfare, hotel, meal costs. I had mentioned this last week in conjunction with humbly asking the Catholic Sports Radio community to support me by way of a financial gift to at least cover that conference registration fee. If you are in fact seeing value in what I do through this ministry, if it's helping your faith life, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and the work that I do to keep bringing you this show every week for what is almost 5 years now, I ask you to prayerfully consider my ministry as part of your tithing. Doing that and helping me go to the NRB convention next month in Nashville is as simple as going to my show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button, which is fast, safe, and secure. You will see that it's going to ask you to type in whatever amount you're most comfortable giving. And for that matter, feel free to add a note telling me this is to help you go to the NRB convention in Nashville. Alternatively, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media, or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. As you have heard me do in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, or if you wish, you can choose to remain anonymous, as some folks have directed me to do. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Father Calloway, before all that, we heard about your having run drugs and money for the Japanese mafia at age 15, being thrown in jail in Louisiana at age 18. Now we jump ahead 3 years to age 21 and your conversion to the Catholic faith. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so I was definitely at a rock bottom place in my life. I had dropped out of high school. I just had no real motivation. And so I was at my parents' house one night, which I rarely was, and I just I didn't know what to do. And I went out into the hallway and I picked up a book that they had on their bookshelf, and it was about the Virgin Mary. And I didn't even know what that was or who it was. I was clueless about Christianity. And it was talking about her allegedly appearing in something called an apparition to little children. And I was like, what is this? And it fascinated me. And I read that whole book in one night, and I never went to sleep. And my mom woke up in the morning, and there I was at the bottom of the steps, you know, long hair down to my waist, my Grateful Dead tattoo, my earrings, the whole thing. And I said to her, Mom, I need to talk to a priest. And she didn't even believe me. She thought I was kidding. And then she realized I read that book. And that was the catalyst, the snowball that got things rolling. And I went to church, talked to a priest, and my, the things that happened in those days are amazing, miraculous, extraordinary.
But so take us from there to ultimately becoming a priest. Over what period of time did this happen? And was it just kind of a natural progression, or was there some significant event where you really felt that call?
Well, you know, when I had this huge conversion experience, I just felt madly in love with Jesus Christ. I was so in love with him because he unlocked meaning for me, for why I was here and what life was all about. And I just wanted to serve him. I wanted to be as close to him as possible. And so I became Catholic within 1 year. And then I didn't know what to do with my life. You know, what do I do now? Do I get a career? Do I marry some beautiful lady, raise a family? All great options. But I just felt like I wanted to do something more. And I'm going to Mass every day. So I'm watching the priest. I just felt inspired that maybe God is calling me to do what the priest is doing. And these little Filipino women, God bless them, they would come up to me all the time and they say, you know, you should become a father, you should become a priest. And it was so inspiring to me that they even thought that I could do that. And so I talked to some priests, and one thing led to another, and I visited a religious community that spreads the divine mercy message, all about God's mercy and love. And they accepted me, and they told me it would be a long process, and it was. I mean, I had to get my GED. I had to go to community college, then regular college. So it took me 10 years, 10 years to be a priest. Yeah, it was long, but it was worth it.
Well, sure. And I think that really shows how empowered you had become that to go through something that took 10 years. When you look at the lifestyle you had been leading, if someone would have told you back then, just flat out, that you're going to become a priest, you would have said, you're crazy. And by the way, it's going to take you 10 years to do it. You'd say, you know, now you're really nuts. Get away from me. And here you were, happy to embrace that journey.
Yeah. I mean, it really is extraordinary. And, you know, there were times that were tough, that's for sure. But you're absolutely right. I would have never in my wildest imagination thought that I would be doing something like that. But I just so madly in love with Jesus. Just, I want people to know you. I want people to know what I know, that you are the meaning, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I want people to know that. And so I was willing to do it. I would have done it for 20, 30 years if I had to.
Well, and it's a great example of God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Because, you know, I think you're the poster child for the last person that people probably would have expected. If you would have told your parents way back then, this is what's going to end up happening with him, they would have said, you know, yeah, I've got some land for you out in whatever that expression is. By the way, folks, I will be putting a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Father Calloway's website. As I mentioned in the intro, he has 18 books. And Father Calloway, one that jumps out at me, since I look for the intersection of faith and sports, is your book, Champions of the Rosary, The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. Certainly, it would be great for the audience to purchase that and other books that you've done, but can you, in your own words, talk more about, as it says in that book's description, the rosary being a spiritual sword with the power to conquer sin, defeat evil, and bring about peace?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a guy, so I love battles, and I love all that kind of medieval stuff where you go and you slay dragons. And in a certain sense, that's what sports is all about, right? There's two sides, and they're battling it out, and there's a victor. And so in the rosary, you know, it's a simple prayer, a beaded prayer. It's basically the Bible on a set of beads, because all the prayers of the rosary come right out of the New Testament. So when you're praying that, you're praying the word of God. And St. Paul says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut through bone and marrow. It has power, and it slays dragons. And so that's what the rosary is. And so it's fascinating that the first person that it was given to was a guy, St. Dominic, in the 13th century. a lot of people think, oh, it was Granny or it was Sister Mary Joseph in this convent. No, it was to a man, a warrior, a soldier of God. And so that's why I love the rosary and I promote it and I write about it in those kind of terms and categories. And it's for everyone, for men, women, children. But there's something there, you know, and I try to bring that, I guess you could say, athletic sports, that, you know, battle kind of scenario into my spirituality. Because I think there's something there. You know, even the scriptures describe our Lord, the Psalms say, the Lord is a warrior. Lord is his name. I love that. As a guy, that just so appeals to me, you know. So, yeah.
And folks, this episode is being released in the lead up to, and you'll see me posting about this later this week on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, the feast day of Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes. January 20th is his feast day. We probably could do an entire episode, Father Calloway, all about your surfing adventures. And in an email you sent me, you noted just a couple highlights, but can you share maybe one great story that stands out from all the surfing that you've done around the world? And by the way, does the sport require so much concentration that you're just 100% focused on technique and the wave you're going to ride? Or is there room to be in conversation with the Lord out there?
Yeah, there's definitely room, because a lot of times you're just waiting for the sets to come in. So you're just sitting there staring at the horizon. But you have to be in shape to do it. And it requires, you know, dedication and getting up very early in the morning. And just the, I guess you could say, the drive to do it. There's something there because you're in God's creation. I mean, I've surfed all around the world. You name it, I've been there. But I would say probably one of my most memorable experiences as a priest surfing was with another priest who's a surfer. I went to Australia, and for almost 1 month, he and I, on a daily basis, we would surf a new break every morning, and then we would drive pretty much all day, get to another church, speak at the church and say Mass, and then we did that same thing for like 3 weeks. All across Australia, and it was phenomenal. I mean, it was off the charts. One of the best experiences of my life. I would love to do it again before I get too old and can't do something like that. It was a dream. We were living the dream of being surfer priests and just the brotherhood, the fraternity, spreading Jesus Christ, celebrating the sacraments for people, and then moving on to the next location. It was, oh man, it was awesome.
Yeah, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice as though this just took place last week or last month. And by the way, folks, 8 weeks ago on the show, episode 251, my guest was Bear Wozniak. He's one of the very, 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 very few people that have actually been on this show twice. He is a world surfing champion. Father Calloway, have you and Bear ever surfed together? Because I know that you've been on his show a couple of times.
Yeah, he's a great guy and a good friend. We actually haven't surfed together, although we've been on pilgrimages together. We were in the Holy Land, and it's so funny. He surfed in Tel Aviv, and he went into the store, because I was a priest. I had to be with the people, and he was like, Father, I'm going to skip out and go surfing. I'm like, enjoy, brother. He goes down, and they had a poster of him in their surf shop in Tel Aviv. I mean, that was amazing.
What are the chances that there's someone that has a Father Don Calloway surfing poster somewhere?
My mom has one.
Tell me this, what is the 13th of the month club?
Yeah, so, you know, my religious community, it's a way for us to remember the Fatima message. We started this in our community to, every 13th of the month, we invite people to pray the rosary, to join with the other members in praying that rosary. And we send out little messages to inspire them about their spiritual life, their journey closer to our Lord through the intercession of the Virgin Mary. And it's just a little club to stay connected and to, you know, get through these difficult times and to support each other. Simple, just once a month.
And I ask that, audience, because when you do go on Father Calloway's website, you're going to see that on there. And Father, I assume, it's always a bad word, I assume that if they're interested in getting information on one of your pilgrimages, that they can find that on your website and perhaps even sign up for it through your website?
Yep, absolutely. There's a link there. You'll see the button, click it. Those are great pilgrimages. We have such a good time together for usually, you know, 9-10 days together, traveling around, seeing all these places. Love to meet all the people. We have a great time.
So as we get ready to close, I wonder if there is a mix of faith and sports in the pilgrimages that you do to Catholic shrines around the world, meaning if someone signs up to go on one of those, similar to what you just said about bear slipping away, would they at some point see you slipping away to go surfing? Have you done that before, and or is there one coming up soon?
Oh, that's funny. I could tell you stories there too, my friend. So a lot of times what happens is I'll go early or stay late, and other people do that too if they want to go to something special for them. I've done that with surfing spots on these pilgrimages, like in Portugal, Nazaré, the world's largest wave now. I'm 100 footers. Mm. I haven't surfed that, and I never will. Those guys are lunatics. But, you know, people love that stuff. We're driving down the road, and I'll point something out, you know, something sports related, and they're fascinated by that. And a lot of times, you know, we're in Barcelona and, you know, football, soccer, there people want to get the shirts. They want to get a ball for their son. It's good times. I mean, you bring all that in, right? I mean, we're normal people. We pray hard and we play hard. Mm. And so we have a great time.
So final question. You are the vocation director I had mentioned in the intro for the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. Now that we've heard your story, how much is that part of your, and forgive me for using this expression, your recruiting tool?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a pretty big part. I mean, you know, when you're out there and you're talking to men who are discerning becoming a priest, they love the normal that, you know, you're a guy, you're not a robot, you know, you're not a machine. And when they see that, you know, you do play sports and you know about teams and you know about these things, that's a great conversation starter. And you can take it from there. And then you can invite them, hey, become a champion for the Lord. If he's calling you, don't be afraid of that. You know, be on the Lord's team here because we're going to win this game. We've already won it. You're just going to be a player who's going to be there and be playing it out now in time. Let's fight for the Lord. They love that.
Yeah, and I think the angle that I was considering was more you talking to someone who's in discernment and says, what does he want with me, a sinner? And you laugh and say, get comfortable. I'm going to tell you what my backstory is.
Yeah, oh, big time. Oh, my goodness, yeah. But you know what's amazing is a lot of people have, maybe not as dramatic, but they have a similar story. We're all sinners. We've all gone astray and done stupid things. And so when you share that with them, you know, it means a lot. And they open up and they share their own story. And I love hearing those stories of conversion.
Yeah, it humanizes you more and it makes it, dare I say, more relatable for them. Father Calloway, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Audience, he is going to close us out in prayer. But Father, I just wanted to thank you first. Wonderful testimony and really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that.
And so, audience, as you know, that I like to do whenever I have a member of the clergy as the guest, Father Calloway has agreed to do our closing prayer for us. And so, Father, if you would.
You bet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for every grace and gift that you give us, for all the love that you shower upon us. We ask you to bless us and all the listeners and their intentions to help them become the champions that you have called them to be, to fight the good fight. And to be conquerors of evil with love. And we ask this blessing, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.